We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
Are you ready for rapid fire?
I could talk about this for hours, but I'm always ready for rapid fire.
Ryan says Lloyd Carr got a Notre Dame tattoo. We've got plenty more Notre Dame football to talk about in rapid fire, and even some basketball as well. So we are going to start off with a comment from Marcus Freeman. He talked about after the game, you know, we talked about all, you know, like by and large, you know, the two pick sixes obviously were huge that Angeli and Minchie threw.
Just making up words. It's all good.
English is English, me language. So the defense was clearly ahead of the offense for a vast majority of the day. Here's Marcus Freeman on that.
Year three, right? It's the same thing I said to you guys last year. After year two, it's, you know, when you go into year three now with pretty much between Golden, Mickens, Al Washington being consistent in terms of the voices in those rooms, year three of the same scheme. Like it's an NFL pro style defense. There's a lot of defense. And year one, we couldn't perform at the pace, at the level that he wanted, right? And that's always the challenge. How do you get these athletes to play fastest? Like that's the challenge of a coach. It's not to be so complicated that you're trying to confuse the opponents. Like, okay, how can I get these people to understand what I want and play fastest? Well, it's year three of the pretty much, now we have enhances, but pretty much of the same scheme with a lot of the veterans coming back. Whereas the offense, it's practice 11 of a new scheme, right? And so they're going to be ahead, right, defensively because a lot of returning players year three than the offense, but the offense has done some really good things. And what you'll see from the offense side is that they're going to get every look imaginable, right? They're not playing against a Marcus Freeman defense that you're going to – see a couple of different things. You know, you're going to see everything with Al Golden, and it's going to help them improve. Like, if they can understand it, which I know they do, the coaches do, like, this is really good for you. What you're seeing defensively, this is really good for you. You're going against one of the best in the country, right? This is going to be one of the best defenses in the country. And That's what our offense is going against every day. But at the end of the day, that's going to make you better. Right? We talk about all the time, these bloody wounds. Like, this is going to make them better. You know, I know it might be frustrating today. You don't win the blue jerseys. And, you know, man, there's sometimes that the defense presents some challenges. But at the end of the day, this is going to make our offense and team better.
Buy or sell it, Vince?
Oh, I buy it. I mean, he's all in on the defense, number one. And, you know, saying that they're going to be one of the best units in the country, they should be. And I think they will be, right? And he's absolutely right that those guys on defense are in year three of that defense. And the guys on offense are in year one. I mean, it is what it is. They're probably going to use similar terminology, and there's going to be things that they're doing that are the same or whatever. It's still coming from a new place, and they're doing different stuff. I mean, we've seen enough to know this is going to be a different looking offense. And so I would expect the defense to be ahead of the offense right now. But we also saw the offense have some success here and there too. And so I still think there's a lot of excitement surrounding this team as a whole. But I absolutely buy the fact that the defense should be ahead of the offense right now.
No, and it could come off as just coach mumbo jumbo speak, but I didn't think that it did when you sit there and listen to him explain right. It the way he did. And it's absolutely right. We could see from day one, just as he said, there's a lot of defense there. He knows that Al Golden's defense is not the easiest to learn and to consume. And there is a difference between being a highly touted, very talented high school recruit coming into Notre Dame and just jumping into this kind of defense and, you know, being able to absorb it right away. But Jalen Snead, case in point, we talked about him a little bit last week. He's going into year three. It's probably taken a little bit longer than definitely, you know, he would have expected, than most fans would have expected, because he's a guy who's been, you know, like, why don't we see more Jalen Snead when, you know, these linebackers are making all these mistakes and, you know, everything else. But he's a guy that Max Bolla has been talking pretty highly of this spring. Like, the flip finally switched for Jalen Snead, and he's playing at a higher level now. It's just maybe taking him, you know, one a little bit more time for all the, you know, for everything, you know, to sort of absorb, and two, to commit to it the way he needs to, because that's something that Marcus Freeman and Bolla have talked about as well. Just the different level of commitment that he's shown, because there are more complexities.
Oh, sure. It.
And so, you know, just what you said, you would expect year three, you've got all these young, talented guys running around out there, but they don't look like chickens with their heads cut off.
Yeah.
They're not hesitant because they don't know what to do. They're still out there making plays, because all of them has been in the system for, you know, well, obviously with the exception of the freshman, for at least a year. And like KVA has already shown that he might be an exception as well for the maturity that he has and the way he's been able to soak it up and get in there and do some stuff.
Well, and it's a very complicated defense. And I think, you know, when we think about the youth of this defense, it's in the middle, right? I mean, it's the second level. It's the linebackers, right? And I think Jack Kaiser being in there helps a bunch. And I also think having Max Bolla as the official linebackers coach. He was the linebackers coach last year, and we saw rapid improvement from year one to year two. And then I think we're going to see not necessarily improvement from a statistical situation from the linebackers, but I think the fact that these young guys are running around and able to use their athleticism and all that without having the, you know, paralysis by analysis, I think a lot of that credit goes to Max Bolla and the way he's able to coach these kids and teach these kids and get them playing at a fast, high pace level. I mean, they're looking good right now. I mean, Drake Bowen looked really good. You know, Jack Kaiser looked really good. Like, Jalen Snead looked really good. These linebackers, I think, are going to surprise some people nationally. They're not going to surprise anybody locally that follows this team. They're going to surprise some national people at the way that they can fly around.
Totally concur. Totally concur with that.
Football season may be over, but the action on the floor is heating up. Whether it's tournament season or the fight for playoff home court, there's no shortage of high-stakes basketball moments this time of year. Get in on the excitement with Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app, where you can turn your hoops knowledge into some serious cash. PrizePicks is the largest daily fantasy sports platform in North America, We are the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. It's just you against the numbers. Instead of battling thousands of other players, including pros and sharks, you pick more than or less than on 2 to 6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. You can now win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You heard it. 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000 with NBA, NHL, and college basketball entries today on Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. It is so easy to use. All you have to do is download the app in the App Store or Google Play Store, sign up, add some funds, and you're in. Then you just find your favorite player and decide more or less on the suggested stat. It really is that easy. The night I joined, I picked Hannah Hidalgo to have more than 14 points, Maddie Westbeld to have less than 10 rebounds, and Marcus Burton to have more than 18 points. And guess what? I hit on all three. Bing, bang, boom, baby. Money in my pocket. It was just that easy. Download the app today and use code IRISH for a first deposit match up to $100. Again, download the app today and use code IRISH for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All right, we got a few more Marcus Freeman comments, including Riley Leonard, who didn't play in the game out there in the scrimmage on Saturday, but he was on the sideline, watching each play from about 15 yards behind the action throughout the day.
He's going to challenge himself to have 100% focus on every rep. So he had the headset on. He knew every call that was going in, and he went and stepped through every single one. And so that's who he's been. He's actually practicing a little bit more now, doing some 7-on-7, some other things. And so, but today we didn't want to let him go. And so for him to get work like that, it just is a reflection of who he is. That's going to make him better. And that was my challenge as a head coach to him, is that, hey, what can you do? Although you're physically not practicing on Saturday, what can you do to get better? And he showed today a chance to do that.
So what do you think, Vince?
I still cringe when he said he's out there doing 7-on-7 stuff. I did. When I heard him say it originally in the press conference, I was like, ooh, really? And then again, when he said it just now, I was like, oh, I don't like that. But I understand where they're coming from. I get it. But I look, when you're hurt, injured, whatever, you need to be going through mental reps. That's the whole point of being out there and doing those things. Had the headset on, going through it. It's exactly what he should be doing. And so I guess maybe I've got the bar set too high, but that's absolutely what he should be doing. So I don't feel like I should be throwing flowers in his direction, because I feel like, yeah, he should be doing that. So good job, Riley. That's exactly what you should be doing.
I like it when we have guys who speak sarcasm and get the show. Chief Brody, can CJ coach the team?
Yeah.
DK, why hasn't CJ healed Riley's injury?
He wants to play.
I mean, yeah, if he's that good, I mean, he should just be able to, you know, lay hands and that thing is good to go.
Yes.
Right? But Joe, Bradley's in the blue gold game, I'll be very disappointed in the Notre Dame stuff. I don't
disappointed is not the word. Pissed would be the word. I'd be like, what are you thinking? Even if it turns out totally positive, he balls out, doesn't get hurt, why in the world would you take that chance? Why would you even take that chance?
No reason. No, sir. If he was not in this past Saturday, I don't see any reason.
You're gonna put him behind, you know, a line that is not your first line. It's gonna be a patchwork, and you know, all of these different things. No chance. Yeah.
I love the fact that Riley Leonard is locked into this though, and like he's out there because that they're actually supposed to vote later this week about the headset comms, and they've been using them throughout practice. They don't have the 15-second cutoff. They don't even know what the cutoff is going to be. Like the NFL cutoff, is 15 seconds. You get 15 seconds to call whatever. Like I would think in college it'll be a little bit long, but again, like that's
a 40-second clock. You would think they would get half.
But he was wearing the headset so he could hear what was being called. He was watching the other quarterbacks as they went through it. I mean, literally, it's like, That's really all that Riley Leonard needed to do this past Saturday. That's all Riley Leonard needs to do this Saturday. Completely 100% down with that. I think it can have some help. And as I've said a million times already, June and July are when Riley Leonard is, you know, really going to be. He'll be able to make up for the lost time. I'm not worried about it. Just in terms of getting out there with receivers and running backs, doing some different things. Running plays, you know, like doing all that stuff on their own, because quarterbacks and the skill position guys do that all the time in the summer. Absolutely. And everyone, especially since they do have so many new receivers, you'll be getting Bo Collins in this summer as well, assuming he's healthy enough to go after, you know, his minor thing. But like you expect them to be out there. And I'm not concerned about Riley Leonard being able to absorb all this, because I'm sure that he's probably in the film room as much as he can be right now anyway. And as soon as school ends, he'll probably be there all day, every day, you know, learning even more as much as he can.
Yeah, 100%. He's doing everything that he can do right now. And in the summertime, they're not tackling. He's not getting rushed. So he can do everything today, probably, that they're going to be doing in the summertime. You know what I mean? Outside of maybe some of the workouts and things like that. But as far as like getting the relationships down with his receivers and all that, he'll be fine. What they need to do on Saturday, he needs to be standing right next to Marcus Freeman, you know, on the field behind the offense, and they can throw a mic on him and they can interview him, you know, by Peacock and, you know, all that other crap. Like, do that and he'll be fine. And he'll still win the hearts of Notre Dame fans with his, you know, charisma and everything else.
Yeah. Just to clarify, Joe asks how they do that without coaches around the helmet pieces. I'm not talking about the helmet pieces in the summer.
They don't have helmets either, by the
right,
way.
I'm just saying right now, because that's the most he can do while the rest of the team is doing live stuff. He's wearing the helmet pieces, so he's hearing what's being called. The summer is about just physically getting out there with, you know, whoever wants to show up, whatever, you know, it's like, quarterbacks and the skill position guys show up and they'll get out there and we'll actually, you know, start running plays, going through plays, you know, like Riley Leonard will call what the actual play would be and the receivers line up where they're supposed to line up and they go out and run plays against air basically. And maybe sometimes DBs show up as well, you know? So,
but it's all,
there's just so much of that that goes on in the summer that, you know, we never see.
Right.
And, you know, the coaches obviously can't be there either, but it is a huge part of the development that, you know, just because you don't see it and you don't get to hear about it, because it's obviously not a media thing where we can be out there and see any of it. It's taking place.
Yeah.
Everybody, they're all doing it. Thank you, DK. Just that reminder to hit that like button while you're here. We do appreciate it. Yeah, like Josh says, Bo is at practices, but he can't participate. Because he's doing the online stuff through Clemson.
And he'll be done soon. Yeah. I mean, all the colleges are graduating here in the next couple of weeks.
Right. But that's what I said. Yeah. As soon as the semester ends, he can be on the field.
Right.
That's what I was referring to. He actually out there on the field and doing all that stuff that I was talking about. So more on the offensive side of the ball, Jaden Greathouse was pretty hard to cover Saturday.
Yeah, you know, I think his natural position coming into Notre Dame was probably a slot receiver, and out of necessity, out of really the confidence he built in our coaching staff last year, we had to put him outside and do some different things. Now, going into year two, he's built the capacity to be effective inside as a slot receiver or go outside. And so to have a guy that can do that, it's going to truly benefit us.
So what kind of season do you think Greathouse needs for Notre Dame to be successful offensively? How much of this is reliant on him?
I think they're going to move him around a bunch. I think they're going to put him in the slot. They're going to put him outside. They're going to look for matchups where he can be successful. I mean, he's WR1 right now, and I'm not sure it's all that close, to be honest with you, Sean. And I think he's staring a 1,000-yard season right in the face.
I
said it.
Here it comes. Vince's first 1,000-yard prediction.
I'm just saying, I think that if he stays healthy, and that's a big if because he had the hamstring last year, and he was not the same guy from that injury to the end of the season. He was not the same guy. But if he's healthy and the talent of the other receivers around him, they're going to have to one-on-one cover him. And this has as much to do with Mike Denbrock as it does to Jaden Greathouse. Because I think in the past, Greathouse would have had his position, he'd play that position, and that's it. And if he was open, great, and he got the ball, great. I think Mike Denbrock sees Jaden Greathouse and what he is, and he's going to move him around. Well, he's going to make him into a 1,000-yard receiver.
And don't forget, they tried to move Jaden Greathouse around as well. He just wasn't as successful outside as he was when he was in the slot either. And obviously his own injuries played into it. Unfortunately, he's already injured again this spring with another hamstring. But I think you're exactly right. It's the guy who proved, because of like the glut at slot and the fact that Faison can be such a weapon from the slot, that especially necessitates Greathouse, because of his body size and his skill set, has got to be able to do some things in those outside receiver positions as well. And you're exactly right. They are going to move him around. That's what you do with a great receiver. You are able to move him around and challange him to be more versatile. And he has shown that he can be more versatile. I'm not going to make the 1,000-yard prediction. I'm not making a prediction, but I think if he's around 60 receptions, at least 60 receptions, that's going to be really good for Notre Dame's offense. That's going to pay big dividends if he's at least in that 60 reception mark.
All I need him to do is be healthy all year. If he's healthy all year, he's going to rack up the yards and the
catches. That's a good point. We just say that. That's what he needs. Just stay healthy, and it's going to come. Right.
If he's healthy, it'll be natural and he'll be just fine. He'll be just fine.
Yeah. Jason says if he's healthy, he'll have 1,000 yards. Ray's predicting 77 catches, 1,100 yards. Man.
Whew. That's 77. That's
did nobody learn their lesson last year from all these predictions we made about the Notre Dame receivers?
Seriously. And
nobody came even close. Like, we're going off the deep end again.
I know. And David says, you mean Jaden Thomas.
I not say Jaden Thomas? Or is he saying that it's going to be Jaden Thomas and not Greathouse?
That's what he's saying. And I Jaden Thomas is not going to stay healthy. He didn't even make it through spring. Like, I love Jaden Thomas. I think he's a really good receiver. I just don't think he's ever going to be healthy for a full season. He has a track record of getting hurt every year. Jaden Greathouse doesn't have that yet, right? And so the fact that he's even hurt during the spring kind of says it all to me.
Brody's asking, last 1,000-yard receiver, it was Chase Claypool. What's that been? Six years ago? Yeah.
Long enough that he's out of the NFL now, I think, isn't
he? Yeah. No kidding. I know he's looking for a job. He was I think he had a visit for Seattle planned last week or something like that.
Good luck.
Not looking very good. Fill in the blank, Maddie Westbelt announcing her return to Notre Dame today for her fifth season of eligibility is blank.
Fantastic. Not unexpected, though. I mean, based on the fact that she's not going to be drafted in 18 minutes when the WNBA draft kicks off because she didn't put her name in, led me to believe that she was going to come back. I don't see her as like a transfer person, you know, or that kind of thing. But I still was waiting for the announcement. You know what I mean? I still wanted to hear it from her. And luckily she brought that out. And I mean, this just makes this team so much. They're just going to be so good next year if they're all healthy, man.
And she was very short and to the point.
Yeah.
And, you know, not the most specific with the announcement. She said, not done, in a little shamrock emoji. And that was it. But it is huge because, like, you look at she, Hidalgo, and Citron combined for something like 55 points a game last year, just those three on their own. And then you add Miles to the mix. You add Kate Kovalt to the mix, whoever they bring in via the portal, you get some of these other players back. It's like, I think that they could end up with one of the best, if not the best and most dynamic offenses in the entire nation next year. Yep. They were already a high scoring offense.
Yeah. There's the second highest scoring offense in the ACC.
She's just so versatile. Like what she means, you know, like the fact that she can go down to the post and hold Elizabeth Kitley from Virginia Tech, who's going to be drafted tonight, to one of her lowest outputs of the season down in the post. And, oh, by the way, step out and just hit these dagger threes every now and then, but also, you know, affect the spacing of the defense on the floor by the fact that she can basically score from anywhere. She's got nice mid-range and the three. She can score down like all these different things that she can do. And again, you combine that with the others that they've got coming back next year. It's going to be like Neil Ivey always talks about running. This is going to be a running team.
Oh yeah. Next year. Absolutely. And you are closer to the team than I am, but it appears to me on the outside that she's also a really good leader on this team. And so I feel like that can only help, you know, coming back. And but, you know, look, this is going to be like a Phil Jackson moment for Neil Ivey. She's going to have to manage some egos because there's a lot of talent on this team. There's only one basketball, right?
True.
And so, you know, she's going to have to, and I'm not saying egos as in like a bad thing, but you've got a lot of talent on this team and she's going to have to manage that. And I feel like having a leader like Maddie Westfeld on the team is only going to help that.
I mean, David, this is what I was going to say when you talked about the leadership, when she called the, you know, the players only meeting.
Yeah.
That was the pivotal point in the season. She's the one who got that started after the loss to North Carolina State. And then they rattled off all the wins after that, won the ACC championship and, you know, obviously ended up in the Sweet 16. So huge for Notre Dame
with
Westbrook coming back.
So are we waiting for any more announcements or is the roster set from last year to this year? I realize the portal still hasn't been.
I think that's it. Because I, you know, to be honest, I wasn't exactly sure what Nat Marshall was going to do. And she obviously announced hers. Again, the two announcements last week were not the most surprising because when you start to look at what the rest of the roster is going to look like and what you just said, there are only so many basketballs. And when you've got that many kind of top end players who you've got to figure it out, the players who are the depth players, it becomes a little bit more difficult for them. I don't think any announcements are coming anytime soon.
Okay.
I think the biggest thing is who they go get from the transfer portal.
I think
that's the biggest thing.
I did find it funny that somebody in the chat asked you and Jesse if Haley Van Lith would come to Notre Dame.
Oh man.
I listened to all your shows last week and that made me laugh. I got a good chuckle out of that one.
Yeah, I don't see that. Sorry, I didn't see that. David asks if Kylie Watson's expected to come back or is she done? She is, especially because she is injured. I think the biggest question with her is just what her availability is going to be in terms of her timeline recovering from the knee surgery. So that'll be the biggest thing. And that's, you know, again, I would expect that because of that, they're going to go out and get at least one post player, if not maybe more than that, out of the portal this offseason. Fill in the blank. It's blank that the first house Newt Rockne lived in South Bend is being moved so that condos can be built on the original side of the home.
Kind of sad, I guess, you know, but that also shows progress, I guess, you know, whatever. But like, where are they moving it to? Like on campus someplace or?
I saw something tweeted about this and it was like a few blocks west is what it said. So I don't know exactly where the landing spot is going to be.
I mean, it's interesting they're not tearing it down.
Right. I mean, it's good that they're at least not tearing it down, but it's like Notre Dame, Newt Rockne, again, they're keeping the house intact, which is good, but feels like historical enough that almost could have like bought the place and turned it into a museum of
some sort. That was going to be my next question.
And just, you know, then you explain while the townhomes are being built around it. Oh, by the way, that's the Newt Rockne Museum sitting
right there. You know, that was going to be my next question. Is it just sitting there like empty? Is somebody living in it? Like, do they use it as a museum? Like all of those things, like they should absolutely have it as a museum of some sort, you know, maybe restore it to what it used to be and, you know, that kind of a thing.
And having talked to a lot of people in sports information over there at Notre Dame and the administration over the years, like there are essentially like up above the, you know, like in the Joyce Center, kind of like in the attic, you know, there are like endless storage areas. And there are a lot of really cool, like old artifacts from that time period as well. That are just sitting up there in boxes doing nothing right now. And that's like, you know, again, like Newt Rockne, it like when you think of Notre Dame football, you think one of the first things you think about is the history and tradition of Notre Dame football. Who was at the front of the history and tradition? Newt Rockne, right?
Yep.
Like it seems pretty simple to me that you erect the Newt Rockne. And yeah, I suppose you can do it on the wherever they land this place as well, but it needs to be a historical landmarker in this town. And it would be cool if they did something like that. It seems like it would be pretty simple.
I would think so.
I would too.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
So you mentioned that you heard the shows last week. Did you hear Jesse and I talking about this Apple TV invention?
I did. I was shocked that Jesse is such a downer, by the way. But
Jesse, continue. You know, we had a little talk after last week's show. And the couple questions of that particular rapid fire, which I guess was Thursday.
Okay.
He was like getting a little grumpy there at the end. I don't know if it came off like if you were watching video or listening to the podcast.
I was listening in my car.
He was getting a little grumpy. And I'm like, you know, we ended the show. I'm like, so you didn't have more to say, you know? Like, I kind of called him out, like, so I'm sorry. I was, you know, like, I think something in the chat set him off. And you know, it was a relatively long show because we did all the draft stuff in the first segment. And we were, you know, so, like for us, it was a little bit longer than usual. But yeah, I think you're right, Joe. I think he was hangry. He just needed a Snickers, is what it came down to. But so he, you know, he wasn't that interested in this. But Apple TV, Friday Night Major League Baseball, You can get on there and you don't have to listen to the TV network guys. Very simple, couple clicks of the remote. They give you the option right on the screen. You can listen to either of the home team radio broadcasts on Apple's Friday Night Baseball. I tried it Friday. Like I had seen it. I'd seen it when we talked about it. So I tried it Friday and I was like, this is pretty cool. And what they do, like while the game is going on, you're getting whichever team's radio broadcast and whatever they're talking about. As soon as they go to commercial,
okay,
it switches right to the network TV commercial. So you're not missing out on any of that. As soon as they come back from break, you are right into the radio play-by-play. And the audio and the video were perfectly synced up. Like it, there was no lag time at all. It was awesome. I can't believe more people haven't done this already. And I just hope people follow suit with this. Like, especially like NCAA tournament, March Madness, like those kind of things.
Oh, yeah.
Playoffs and stuff like that. I think that is an awesome thing with all the satellite and cable services. It's gotta be so easy for these companies to offer that kind of thing. I can't see what the difficulty is.
I don't think it is difficult, number one. And number two, I know like back in the day, people used to do this kind of thing all the time and they would try to sync up. Like I've tried to sync up your voice to the women's basketball game, like watching it on TV, you know, and it's a pain in the ass to do. But once you get it set, it's great, right? I love the fact that it's just click, click, done. Like that would be like if they had that in the ACC network and I could flip over and just click, click, listen to me some Sean Stiers, that would be awesome. Like, yeah, last night, I think it was last night, I was watching the Cubs game, and Pat Hughes was on Marquee, and he was the play-by-play guy on the TV side. Yeah. Every once in a while, he comes over, and he does that. It was awesome.
He's the usual radio guy, sometimes for, like, right. non-Cubs people. He's the there usual radio guy. He's been there forever. He's in the Hall of Fame.
Right.
When Shiambi is off on Sundays, he does the Sunday TV.
Oh, is it Sundays?
Hughes does the Sunday TV.
Okay, so it's Sunday.
That's typically when he does it. He might have some other days, but
makes
that
seems
like watching last year, that seemed to be his standard day was Sunday when he would get more of that.
And, you know, everybody, you know, John is saying you can mute the TV and listen to the radio broadcast. That's true, but it's never synced up.
You have to sync it up because there's always some lag.
And with all of the internet TV that's out there now, like there's some serious lag with internet TV and radio is, you know, live. And so it's a pain in the butt, but if I can just click it, oh, that would be fantastic. I'm all for it. I was shocked at Jesse's take, to be honest with you. Shocked.
He was Debbie Downer.
Man.
Like of all the answers that he's had on this show.
Man.
That one and his... is relatively, you know, hot Hannah Hidalgo take a week or so ago. Those like two, I think they might have been both last week. They shocked me, you know, more than any others, I think. But Father David makes a good point. It's an easy option, but is it a moneymaker? That is.
No, that's fair.
If you market it right, it can be. Yeah. Like, I don't even think Apple really markets this thing and they offer it. Maybe you'd get more people kind of checking it out. If you tell them, hey, you can listen to your home team's announcer. Or, you know, like if with, you know, all the MLB package. Like, it seems, again, it seems easy that this MLB package, because they do offer in the streaming package, you can get the radio broadcasts, but they are separate from the TV broadcast. But if you tell people, hey, pay $5 more, you can listen to your hometown radio broadcasts as well. Like it seems like I don't know how much people care about that stuff. Like Sunday Ticket, NFL seems like something they could easily do. Ooh. Especially since it's another streaming package.
Call.
And
that's
you've got it
call.
All streaming. Just, like for an extra $10 for an extra $10, like to answer the question about does it make money, extra $10. You have the option to listen to your hometown TV or your hometown radio announcers doing the call instead of the network guys, which typically, you know, the network guys typically drive everybody the most crazy, right?
Well, and that's the thing. It's like the radio guys in general, radio guys are just better and just in general. And that's a blanket statement and I get it, but I just like listening to radio guys better. They just paint the picture so much better because they don't have the video to assist them. Right. And it's a fine line to be a TV guy and a radio guy. I just like radio guys better, and I would listen to radio guys over TV guys almost every time.
Yeah. To me, it's a much more enjoyable broadcast. Local guys know their announcers, and you have, like, what's cool about it is you have the option to do it either way. So if the radio guys start annoying you, just go back to the network guys. If the network guys annoy you, just mute the thing. Like, or listen to the other side, because it, you know what I did, the Royals were playing the Mets, and I've got the streaming package. I don't particularly like the Royals TV crew, not one of my more favorite, but I really like, you know, the Mets, Cohen, Hernandez, and Ron Darling. I love that three-man booth. So this weekend when I watched Royals-Mets games, I was actually listening to the Mets broadcast because I like that booth better.
There you go. I do tend to like team-centered announcers. I do. I like listening to their broadcast too. You know, a little homerish, but it's all good.
Yeah. Don't disagree with that. Well, Vince, I think I've got one more question
for you. Okay.
Right. We had the Masters this week.
Oh, this is a good one. Yeah, okay.
Which are you more likely to watch more of on TV? A golf major, a tennis major, NBA finals, or the Stanley Cup final?
Honestly, this one was easy. Although lately it's none of the above. Is that like E? The answer E. But if you're forcing me to rank them,
more likely.
I know, yes. Right? It would be golf. It would be golf. I would watch golf over all of those other ones. I can't stand the NBA. I just don't like watching it. I don't think it's a good product. That's me personally. I don't like watching it. That's one. Hockey.
It's crazy that you still have that take that you can watch a college men's basketball game and tell me that that product is better than the NBA product right now.
It is to me.
Because I am completely opposite.
That's it. Hey, to each his own, man. That's cool.
But I think it's predominantly caused by one and done and the transfer portal and the inconsistency.
For sure.
Much more inconsistency in rosters
and
NBA and talent level. Obviously.
And part of it for me also is I just like.
And again, I don't watch that much NBA, but
right. I'm just saying. I like to have a dog in the fight, and I definitely don't have an NBA team that I give a hoot about. You know what I mean? So I think that's part of it too.
Let me put it this way. If we had more people who watch and listen to this show who are NBA fans, I would watch more NBA just to be a little bit more familiar with it and bring up topics. You know, Jesse watches a lot of it. I would do that, but we just don't have that many people who
that's
are
interested. Fair. No, so that's fair.
It's like, it's not a good investment of my time when I'm trying to keep up with so many different things during the basketball season.
But it would go golf, basketball, NBA. It would be golf, NBA, hockey, tennis.
Interesting.
Because I don't know anything about tennis. I mean, I know how tennis works. It's just incredibly boring to me. I don't understand hockey, nor do I want to understand hockey. And then I like basketball in general. So that's why that would be number two.
Yeah. So let me put it this way. If it's Steph or LeBron are playing in the finals, I would watch. I would be, you know, like I like.
And why would you be watching? Go ahead. You can say it.
No, again, I like the Golden State brand of basketball. Obviously the Draymond thing is a different thing, you know, and they've gotten a little bit older, so it's not quite the same. I really, you know, like you talk about like enjoyable to watch when they were at their peak a few years ago, that was enjoyable basketball to watch. I really enjoyed it.
Okay.
I would watch LeBron because it's a storyline, like because it's the Lakers and a lot of people, and you know, with LeBron involved, it's a major storyline. That's why I would watch that. You know, but it goes back to tennis as well. I grew up when there were three channels on TV, and we actually watched every with the exception of the Australian Open because of the time difference and the whole thing. But like I religiously watched the three majors, but that's also because you had Americans who were involved.
Absolutely.
Whether it was Chrissy Everett, John McEnroe, Andre Agassi, you know, Jimmy Connors, on down the line, and you had great rivalries of these great Americans with the others. So I used to watch a lot of tennis, you know, like, and if we had that today, if we had those elite Americans who were involved, I would watch a lot more right now. But, you know,
there's
that's the caveat, unfortunately.
Yeah, I get that.
But But I would put, you know, the only Masters I watched this weekend was incidental. Like if I turned on the TV and it happened to be on that channel, but I quickly changed it. Sorry, Vern Lundquist. I know everyone was singing your praises this weekend with your retirement.
And rightfully so.
Didn't watch it before.
I watched 0 minutes of the Masters as well. Yeah. So.
And the Stanley Cup is about the same.
Yeah, it's so. That doesn't do any. None of it does anything for me. Like I would watch the NBA, like you said, if LeBron was in it, but I would watch it for all the wrong reasons. I would watch to make sure he lost. Like that's why I would watch. I'm a hater.
Yeah. I'm much more likely to watch the NBA play-in games than probably the finals, depending on who ends up being there. But I'll say this too: like we both love baseball, and you notice I didn't include baseball on there because I knew what your answer would be if I said World Series.
Right.
I didn't watch that much Rangers Diamondbacks World Series last year. It just wasn't that interesting.
I didn't either. I didn't watch any of it.
Yep.
To be honest with you. So it's all good.
Yep. DK started off. He was in here chiming in, waiting for the talk about the Masters and the breakdown of the Frozen Four.
Yeah, you're not going to get much out of the Frozen Four from me, that's for sure.
I'll watch the Frozen Four if Notre Dame is involved.
Yeah. That's
about it.
I mean, I don't like lacrosse either, but I watched Notre Dame when they were winning the national championship in lacrosse. I have a dog in the fight, right? Like, I enjoyed it. Don't understand it. And I'm not a big fan of the sport and the people that play it, but it was fun to watch Notre Dame win it. You know what I mean? So it's that kind of a deal.
Good Monday. I think we worked it out today. I think it went pretty back-to-back shows. You and I are on together. I think Grumple Stilskin's back in tomorrow. So first show since his Grumpy Thursday.
Yeah. It better be. I'll be at a track meet tomorrow. So
everyone can give him a hard time here.
Grumple tomorrow. Stilskin. That's fantastic.
I think as usual, well, as we have been doing the last couple months anyway, Ryan will be here. We'll talk some recruiting at the start of the show, and then Jesse will jump in and we'll have some rapid fire to finish things off. And already got a ton of things we can talk about.
No doubt.
In rapid fire. We've got so much going on right now. Blue Gold game on Saturday, and can't wait to get back out there to the stadium one more time for the last time until next September. When we get our next home game, unless we get a practice or something that we get to go to during training.
Yeah, they usually give us one open practice in the fall that's in the stadium. So I'll say sometime in August, but you know, they won't show us much.
Follow Jason's lead. Be like Jason. Be a loyal. Hit the like button. All the loyals, hit the like button. All the casuals, follow the loyals and hit the like button. Just follow the loyals to the like button. It's all you have to do.
That's all you got to do. It's easy. Just
be an algorithm buster. Correct the algorithm.
Do it.
That's our new motto. Correct the algorithm or something like that.
Hashtag.
Michael brought one more question in here at the end. He snuck it in just as we were ready.
Really did.
To wrap it up. Michael Johnson, what center forward will the Irish be looking to add if you had a choice? First one I would be trying to get, I've mentioned her name a couple times on this show, Liatu King from Pittsburgh. I will write it in the chat so you can Google her stats. She played at Pitt. She averaged a double-double.
As I say, she was a walking double-double from what I understand.
Yes.
From listening to you.
Yes. And she is a one-year player, so she would be a grad transfer. I think you pair a player like that with a young player like Kate Koval, and that just gives you great, great balance. You're not putting too much on a true freshman coming in, even though she's shown some good things. And, you know, some of her top level competition she's had, she was, you know, played in an all-star game this weekend and stuff like that. Liatu King would be my top choice of forward. She's versatile. She can do some different things. And I think that would be, that would just be dynamic.
Dig it.
And again, just like the things you can do with that kind of lineup. We can already say that about what they're going to have. You add a player like that, I think it changes things even more. All right. Appreciate you guys and gals. Again, hit the like button, subscribe, rate, review, and listen to your Apple podcasts. Helps us out a great deal. And we appreciate it. as always. And we will talk to you tomorrow on IB Nation Sports Talk.
See you.